You have had a chance to tell some of your stories, and now there's some stories I would like to tell you. These are not my own, but ones I've heard some other places. There was a young man by the name of Dwight, and he grew up very, very poor. In fact, by the time he was four, he had lost both his father and his mother, and he was left orphan. By the time he was a teenager, in order to find work, he had to leave his hometown and go to another town, the town that his uncle lived in. And his uncle took an interest in this young man and not only found him a job, but encouraged him to go to church. And so Dwight took him up on it. Because his uncle cared about him, he said, "I'll go." And at church, he found a whole group of people that cared about him, that showed him love and compassion, and amazingly accepted him for just who he was. And as a teenager, that was really, really important. One particular man, a man by the name of Mr. Kimball, was his Sunday school teacher. And he took a particular interest in his students, including Dwight, and took time to develop a relationship with them. And as Dwight and Mr. Kimball became friends and developed a relationship, Dwight developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gave his life in ministry. In fact, Dwight became an evangelist, a world-renowned evangelist by the name of D. L. Moody. Dwight Moody. He traveled the world letting people know about the love of God. And who knows how many people Dwight L. Moody touched because somebody first took the time to share the faith with him. But you see, the story doesn't end there. Because while Dwight L. Moody was traveling the world, sharing the message of Christ's love, he was in England. And in England, he ran into a man by the name, I believe, of B.F. Meyer. And it was through their relationship and him going to the preaching services that Dwight held that Meyer gave his life to Christ. And he also decided that he was going to go into ministry and that he was going to share the Word of God with others. And so he hired an ex-baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday, who had become a Christian and who had such a witness to share. He invited him to be a part of his evangelism team. And together they began to do revivals throughout England and eventually in other parts of the world. And they came to the United States on one of these evangelistic tours, and Billy Sunday preached. And it was an incredible revival. And persons were really touched by the power of God to reach out and show love. There was a group of people there from a very small church in North Carolina. And they were so excited about the idea of sharing God's love with other people that they said, "We have got to do this in our own community. We have got to set up a revival or a camp meeting or an evangelistic event," whatever you're used to calling it. And they set that up in their hometown, and they invited a man by the name of, I think I'm going to actually have to look at my notes for this name. They're out of order. Mordecai Ham. Isn't that a great name? They invited Mordecai Ham to come and be their preacher at their event. They put a lot of prayer into this. They put a lot of time into this. They put a lot of energy into this. And they reached out to their family and their friends and their neighbors and their community and invited them to come to this event that they might be able to be touched by the love of God. There was a young teenager in the audience that night. And he was so touched by the love of Christ that was there, the message that was preached, that when the invitation came to come down and accept Christ, he stood and he came forward. And at that altar, at that event, Billy Graham gave his life to Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? You think about how many people Billy Graham has touched, including his own son who was here to preach. And how many people his son has now touched, even in this group today. Right, Jessica? Isn't that amazing? It all started because of a caring uncle who took the time to encourage his nephew to go to church. And it was a small church, I'm sure, and a Sunday school teacher who took the time for a teenager. Bethel's story really isn't that different, is it? Bethel Church, I understand, started in 1834. Some persons were really excited to reach out to the community out here in Bethel, and they organized a camp meeting right here, probably very close to where we sit, here at Bethel Pond. And we don't have a lot of details about that first meeting. We do know that the preacher was the pastor of Trinity. And we don't know much about who was here or what happened. But we have a sense that something must have happened because they did the same thing the next year. And people, I think, must have gotten excited about the love of Christ and sharing that. Because after that second meeting, they began to meet in homes throughout this community to worship and to celebrate and to share the love of Christ. They also began to develop a commitment that they needed to have a place of worship, a place where they could gather. And I think it was not only for themselves. It must have also been so that they could have a place to invite people to and to share what they had come to know so well and depend on so much, that love of Christ. Because their first building was a small log cabin building, and I read that it was about a mile from where the church presently is, that direction. Well, they so quickly outgrew that they had to build a second, larger log cabin building in order to fit all the people in who wanted to hear about the love of Christ. The history that I read says we don't have the names of the people who were the charter members of Bethel Church. We don't have who the first Sunday school superintendent was. We don't have the list of the first women's society president. We don't have the list of those persons who taught and who worked so hard. And I do think it's a shame because they have touched so many lives, and to know who they were would be so neat. Because if all of us sit here today, we owe a debt of gratitude to them, to their faithfulness and to their love of Christ. And in a sense, all of us are inheriting their ministry. One of the persons that's talked about is Lily Burns. But Lily, I don't know all the stories about her. I just know that she was a tremendous influence on so many people, sharing her faith and her love of Christ. And one of the people that she was tremendously influential in sharing her faith with was her daughter, Ida. Now, I have heard lots of stories about Ida Burns. And one of the people that Ida Burns was tremendously influential in sharing her faith with was Edna. And you've heard, as people stood today, say what an influence Edna has been on sharing their faith. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how easy it is to build a heritage of faithfulness? It's just one person taking the time to develop a relationship and care about one other person, and through that relationship, sharing your love with Jesus Christ. A lot has changed in our world in terms of people's interest in coming to church. And there's so many other options out there that I hear a lot of people concerned. And they say, will our children have faith? Will our children know the gospel? Will our children love Christ? I've heard the question put a different way, though. And I think it's the question we need to ask ourselves today, as we stand here celebrating this heritage of faithfulness. The question is, will our faith have children? The persons who started Bethel United Methodist Church, the persons who kept it going through some very difficult times, are persons who were committed to sharing their faith. Their faith had children. Who had children. And sitting here today are many of the grandchildren of the faith of those original people. Today we're invited to ask ourselves, what heritage will we leave? In 100 years, when they gather on the banks of the pond to have Heritage Sunday, in 50 years, in 25 years, what will they say about us? Will our faith have had children? Will we be part of that cloud of witnesses? Will we have run the race well? Will our faith have been a model for the ones to come? Several of your histories end with these words. Hundreds of people have worshipped at Bethel United Methodist Church, and hopefully in years to come, hundreds more will. That's my prayer, that we'll continue a heritage of faithfulness.